Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
We're on a mission from God. Mike Kapler here with Joel Brzezinski, the Growing in Grace podcast. What do you think about that, Joel? Are we on a mission for God?
Well, I was in the Chicago area with a friend, and we drove by what is allegedly the cafe or the whatever it is, the place where some of that movie, the Blues Brothers movie, were on a mission from God, where that took place.
No Coke, Pepsi.
Aretha Franklin was not there, though, at the time we went by there. So she was in that movie, of course, along with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd.
Yep.
I've only seen that movie on TV.
I'm really into it, but it's a funny line.
I think the funniest thing, or the thing that most people may have seen, is when they're doing the song. Now I can't even think of what it is. Our listeners probably know, some of them anyway. What did the Blues Brothers do? It was on Saturday Night Live, and that it turned
talking
into.
About, are you talking about Soul Man?
Soul Man, yes.
Okay.
Why couldn't I think of that? I'm a soul man.
I mean, I can hear it in my head now. I wish you hadn't done that.
Yeah, well, I'd rather have that song in my head beforehand. I do not know why, but this morning, of all songs, and I haven't even heard it recently, but Sweet Caroline was going through my head. And I kept singing it. Just Sweet Caroline. Ba ba ba. It just kept on. So maybe I'll replace that with Soul Man.
Yeah, that's a popular song at a lot of sporting events. You play it over the speaker, and then the crowd gets into it.
My daughter when she was in, I think, middle school, had a teacher that played that for them in class, and he really liked the tune, I guess, and so he played it for them. And they, with all the bop, 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 and all that stuff, everything.
Well, let's get back to some things that we were thinking of approaching here on the podcast, and that is, I mean, stop and think about, I mean, Joel and I think we probably do this all the time individually and maybe even collectively here on the podcast to some extent, but think back to, you know, we talked about before grace. We got into the whole Bee Gees thing, right?
The Bee Gees.
Bee Gees.
Don't start singing, please.
We're just trying to stay alive. But before we came to this grace bridge and crossed over into a different paradigm, a totally different way of thinking about the gospel, by God's grace compared to the effort that we thought we were required to put into it. And much of Christianity is on that other side of the grace bridge. That's not to imply that we're passing judgment on anybody or that they're not saved or any of that kind of silly stuff. But it does take you to a whole different place when you begin to hear the gospel from a perspective of pure, unadulterated grace. And so stop and think about some of the traditions and thought processes and religious talking points that we were probably clinging to, that were part of our lives. And when grace came along and we began to see things differently, very differently, when we began to understand there was an old covenant for Israel and a new covenant for the entire world after the death and resurrection of Jesus, then stop and think about the different mindsets that you began to develop compared to what you used to have. You know, we talked recently, not too long ago, about this constant process of unlearning things, unlearning so much of what religious tradition has taught us and coming into something that's much more alive and free in the grace of God, in His unconditional love. And I think one of those things that we can touch on here today, Joel, is the gospel. I'll bet I went for more than a couple of decades in my Christian life as a younger person. How many times did I hear the word gospel?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure I really gave it much thought as to what the gospel is. And we've shared this on the program before. I think it was really one of our first programs, if not the first, where we talked about what is the gospel. Well, we were posed that question years ago from a pastor who had come into the greater knowledge of God's grace. And he began to pose the question to us, what do you think the gospel is? What is the gospel to you? And so I think many people today who attend church buildings or consider themselves as Christians or believers in Christ, many probably haven't stopped to think about that. That was me. I didn't really stop. I mean, I probably had some subconscious thoughts on what the gospel was. Maybe it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe it was the Bible itself. Maybe it was, I mean, you might even define it as good news, which would be accurate. But what is the good news more specifically? So let's talk about that. Joel, I'd love to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to know because that's really the predominant theme when you pick up the New Testament writings. And it's why Jesus came. It's when we shared at Christmas time, the shepherds had this announcement from the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's goodwill. That's God's goodwill toward men. And they were declaring the gospel. There is going to be good news. This is good news for all men, is what those angels said. And it's good news. Okay, so like you say, what is that good news then? A baby's born. Yeah, so what? Well, that baby represented, that baby was in fact, actually, not just a representation, but was in fact God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And I know the Christmas season is over with, but this is a year-round thing that we can understand who Jesus was as God coming as one of us. And so why did he come as one of us? That gets into a little deeper into this. The good news is that while there was sin in the world, and, you know, sin entered the world, and then death entered the world because of sin, Paul said, and then all died because all sinned. And so that's kind of what you might call the bad news. But then the good news, then, the gospel, Jesus Christ came, of course, to not just preach a message. See, that's another thing. The gospel isn't, I mean, we have what we might call the gospel message, but it's not just a message. It's not just like Jesus preaching a message to people, and you just need to follow this message, you know, follow these things to do or follow that to do. But what the gospel message actually is that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins. You know, sin came into the world, and death through sin, therefore all died. Well, Jesus died that death for us, and then he rose again from the dead. The resurrection from the dead, that's Jesus Christ rising from the dead, and therefore we can also be raised together with him. So that's the good news, that's the gospel, that we can be raised together with him. But how does that really work? Well, part of that is, and something that we've focused on a lot on this podcast, is the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and he actually made us to be the righteousness of God. So even in our state of sin, Christ came, and he made it so that we can be God's very own righteousness. And so you'll find a lot of this in Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Notice it doesn't say in Romans 1:16, it's a message for people to follow. The gospel itself is the power of God to salvation, to be saved from our sins. Somebody asked a while back, what did he save us from? Well, he saved us from our sin. He saved us from death. So it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for the Gentile. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel is God's declaration, and not only the declaration, but the actual reality of us being made the righteousness of God, not by anything that we do, and despite the fact that we were sinners, but he made it so that we are the righteousness of God only by faith and only by the work of Jesus Christ himself. How's that?
Yeah. So there you have it. If you missed what Joel just said there, in the gospel, Romans 1, 16 and 17, the righteousness of God is revealed. His righteousness ultimately revealed in us. Now, obviously, Paul goes on from Romans 1, 17 to talk about some things, trying to expound and explain some things to the people to whom he was writing. But ultimately, he says some things that lead up to this, which goes back to what he said in Romans 1, and that's Romans 3, 21. And I know I'm jumping in here from some other things that Paul said that we're not covering, but he says this in Romans 3, 21, and you can connect the dots here back to Romans 1. He says, but now, I love that, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law or apart from works, specifically the works of the law, the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There's no difference. All have sinned. All have fallen short, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And he goes on from there. But, you know, that's just it, though. So I guess where we're trying to help you out here a little bit, because it sure helped us out years ago, is when you hear the word gospel, this gospel of grace that we talk so much about, it is just that. It is a gospel of grace where God brought his very righteous nature to us as a gift, apart from any works, Mosaic law or otherwise. You know, because a lot of times when people hear the word gospel, I remember years ago, Joel, back in the traditional church settings where somebody would just be talking about their pastor, trying to get me to come to their church. And they would say, not that there's anything wrong with that, but they would say something like, he really teaches the gospel. And really what they meant was, he teaches from Bible verses.
Right.
It could be anything.
Right.
I mean, you just take, for example, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And a lot of people are just going to think somehow that's part of the gospel because it's in the Bible. But if you'll look in the Psalms and see the context of it, you'll notice that it's right there. It's easy to see that the word was actually a reference to the Mosaic law. And this happens frequently in the scriptures where the word is sometimes a reference to the Mosaic law. It was unprofitable. It was never meant for us. It was a ministry of death and condemnation. It was declared to be obsolete after the new covenant was ratified through Jesus Christ. So the word that really what could have been substituted there is that the psalmist was saying, your law written upon stone tablets is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But so where I'm going with that, of course, is what a lot of people think is the gospel really isn't the gospel at all. And so we're trying to maybe help get our thinking straightened out here a little bit. When you hear the word gospel, when you hear us talk about the gospel, we're talking about a gospel of grace where God imparted his righteousness, gifted us with his righteousness freely apart from anything that we do. And the big difference there is under the law, the Jewish people were pursuing, trying to attain righteousness through pursuing the law of works that was contained in that law of Moses. And they could never get there. They could never do it. And that's the big difference. So, I mean, somebody might be teaching on the Ten Commandments from a legalistic perspective. And some people might think that's the gospel. So big difference between many traditional thoughts about what the gospel is versus what the gospel really is. And I like what you said, that it's not just a doctrine. It goes far beyond that.
Yeah, and not too far from my house, there's a church building. I think it says Gospel Hall. Gospel Hall is part of its name. And I am pretty sure, 99.9% sure, that you're not going to get the gospel if you go in there. You're going to get some legalistic stuff, a lot of legalistic stuff in there. You have even, you know, gospel music. You'll hear a lot of stuff that's not... That's not the gospel. Yeah, so the, or like you say, the word gospel can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people.
Well, and a lot of times it's based on right doing.
Right.
It becomes a gospel of trying to do things right. And that can be profitable for sure, but doing isn't the gospel.
Right. Doing can be, like you say, can be good. Is, and Paul even said, good works are profitable to people. And that's, so that's a good thing, but you, like you say, it's not the gospel. In fact, if you include works in what you might call the gospel, then Paul actually says that's a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. It's not really a gospel. It's what he had to address to the Galatians in that epistle that he wrote to those Gentile Galatians, where some Jews who... believed, well, there were some who believed, and I think some who didn't, but they were troubling these Gentile, these new believers. They had come to Christ. The awesome thing is that through the preaching of the gospel, the actual gospel, they had come to know Christ apart from works. And so they had a real, genuine relationship with Christ, with the living God, through the knowledge that it was by what Christ had done and not by what they do. And then some Jews who believed that you had to keep the law still. Yes, believe in Christ, but you got to keep the law. They had come in troubling these Galatian people, perverting the gospel is what Paul called it. You know, and Paul called them foolish for believing it. So if you add works to the gospel, then it becomes no gospel at all. It's like when you add works to grace, when you add the law to grace, you've nullified grace. You've taken the grace away completely, because a little bit of law mixed with grace makes it be no grace at all. If you have to do anything, if there are any of our works involved apart from the work of Christ and apart from faith in Christ, if it's any works that are involved, then you've nullified the gospel. And Paul had some pretty strong words to say. You know, if those people who trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. I think he was just using strong language there. Because I believe that anyone who believes the gospel, even if you somehow add some works to it, as long as you've believed in Christ, you know, I believe that you've understood, or you may not have understood it correctly and 100% properly.
As if anybody has.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. I think we all have different understandings of things. And so Paul wanted to use some really strong words. I don't think he really wanted anybody to be accursed. In fact, 20 years later or so, when he was writing to Timothy, Paul said, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition." So I think maybe after all these years of Paul preaching the gospel and having it perverted, he came, maybe, this is just me, this is my own thought, it's not even gospel, but it's just my own thought that, you know, maybe after time, Paul realized, I don't need to be so harsh. Maybe not. Maybe he continued to be really harsh toward those who preach this perverted gospel. But it is truly a perversion of the gospel if you add works to it. Either way, no matter how you handle people who teach that other gospel, it's a perversion of the gospel if you add works to it. So the gospel is God's righteousness given to us as a gift, not by anything that we do. Anything else is not the gospel.
Yeah, the thing I would add to this as we wrap up, and I don't know if this leads into our next program or not, but we haven't talked about that, but much of what Jesus said within the red letters, the gospel, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, much of what Jesus said in there, words that he spoke to people, were not the gospel.
Right. That's right.
So that blew away a lot of thought processes for me when I started figuring that out, too.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Let's bring some of that up next week. Right here on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.